Revelation chapter 14. This evening we want to consider the words of verse 4. These are they, speaking of the 144,000. And as you look at these words in verse 4 and 5, you will discover that five things are said about the 144,000. And of course, when you look at them, they're all of grace. What they did, they were able to do by grace. The grace of God working in them. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. There's the first thing we learn about the 144,000. And we're told, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. It's the second thing we're told about them. And thirdly, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And the fourth thing is in verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile. And fifthly, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And all that is said about this congregation of people, you can see that it all stems from grace. What they were and what they did was according to the grace of God in their lives. But what I want to consider tonight and concentrate on is that second sentence there in verse 4. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So here's the Lamb again. And John has given a revelation of the Lamb. And he's given a revelation of the Lamb and the followers of the Lamb as he sees the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. He sees the followers of the Lamb also. Remember, John is looking into heaven. And there can be no doubt, dear hearer tonight, that heaven, as someone has said, is a prepared place for a prepared people. For if it was possible, of course we know it's not, but if it was possible for an unprepared, an unsaved soul to enter into the kingdom of heaven, they would not enjoy heaven at all. They would not enjoy it because all who enter heaven are completely taken up with the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is everything to those who enter the kingdom of heaven. As we quoted last week, the words of Rutherford. Rutherford said that Christ was heaven, and for him, heaven was Christ. And so that man or that woman who spends his lifetime shunning the Lord Jesus and shunning his salvation, that individual would not enjoy heaven at all, because heaven is all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about the Lamb. For there in heaven, the redeemed are with the Lamb. And they worship the Lamb, and they watch the Lamb, and they walk with the Lamb, and they work for the Lamb. None of these things would interest the ungodly. None of these things hold any appeal for the unconverted soul. They don't love the Lamb of God here. Yet heaven is a place where the Lamb of God is loved as he was never loved before. They have never looked to the Lamb of God here upon earth. Yet heaven is a place where all eyes are fastened on Him. The ungodly have never labored one minute for the Lord here. Yet heaven is a place where all people serve Him night or day and night in His temple. Revelation 7 verse 15. So none of these things would hold any attraction for the ungodly. Heaven is not a place for them. Instead, it is a place for those who follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. This is how they live their lives here upon earth. Here upon earth, they followed the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. And now John sees them in heaven, and they're still following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Now we notice that John is speaking about the 144,000. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Now this is an indication. If John said, these are they, that is a clear indication that not everyone who has ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. John says, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. That's what He said about the 144,000. The 144,000 represent all who are in heaven. Look at verse 4. Again, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. In the Old Testament, there is the feast of the first fruits. In the harvest time, the farmer would go out and he'd walk through his fields and he would gather some crops here and some there and bundle them into a sheaf and give thanks to the Lord for the harvest. Now what the farmer had in his hand were only the first fruits. They represented the whole harvest. And here's the 144,000, and they're called the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So they represent the whole harvest of souls that will be gathered in. They represent God's elect who will be reached with the gospel and brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all they will follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. So let us then tonight take a closer look at these followers of the Lamb. And may every one of us here tonight be found amongst them. For remember, John is looking out into the future. And this is what he sees. And oh, may every one of us here tonight be found in that great number. May it be said of us also, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. As we look at those that followed the Lamb whithersoever He goeth, we see that they were called to follow the Lamb. Having been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel, These inheritors of the kingdom of heaven were called to follow the Lamb. Not only to follow Him, but to follow Him whithersoever He went. And believer, that's what we're all called to do. We've been called unto Christ in salvation. And every one of us are called unto Christ for service. We're called to follow the Lamb. That means we're called, first of all, to surrender. To follow the Lamb is to be surrendered to the Lamb. Surely this is very clear from the words of our text, for only they who are surrendered to Christ will follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. This is what it is to be a true follower of the Lamb. It is living a life that is surrendered to the Lord Jesus. And believer, that is what we're all called to do. It is what we're all called to do. We're all called to live the life that is surrendered to the Lord Jesus. Years ago, you used to talk about the holiness meetings. And while there were some things in those meetings that maybe we wouldn't agree with, yet the emphasis in those meetings was a call to absolute and complete surrender to the Lord Jesus. Believer, the message is still the same. The Lord Jesus Himself has called us to a life of surrender to Him. And when we surrender to the Lord, we'll follow the Lamb whithersoever He goes. Matthew 16, verse 24. The words of the Lord Jesus when He said, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Now there's the Lord's call to surrender. It's not the call of John or Peter or Andrew. It's the call of the Lord Jesus Himself. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Let's take that word deny. Let him deny himself. The word deny there means to deny utterly. To utterly deny self. Completely. Indeed, the same word is used to describe Peter's denial of the Lord Jesus. Remember, Peter said that he would never deny the Lord, and yet the Lord told him that before the cock crow, thou shalt deny Me. Same word. Thou shalt utterly deny Me. Utterly. Thou shalt utterly deny Me. Thrice. That's the word we have here. We know how Peter denied the Lord. He most certainly did deny the Lord utterly. Saying, "I never knew Him. I don't know the man." Now that's the word the Savior has used with regard to self. And the Lord Jesus says, if you come after Me and you're going to follow Me, then you must utterly deny self. That's the call to surrender. And isn't it true, believer? Isn't it true that self always seems to get in the way? Isn't it true that self always seems to be that obstacle that gets between us and the Lord and keeps us from getting to that place of absolute surrender where we're ready and willing to follow the Lamb whithersoever He goes? Of course, the Lord Jesus knew that. And that's why before He talked about following Him, He says you need to deny self first. Because unless you deny self first, you'll never be able to follow Me whithersoever I go. That's what happened to great W.P. Nicholson, man who was greatly used of God on both sides of the Atlantic and also in Australia, got saved. He's a wild man. God saved him, called him to be a preacher, but he was greatly troubled in his own heart that he was not living that life that was completely surrendered to the Lord. And one day he was in the town of Bangor. It's a seaside resort in Ulster. And the Salvation Army was holding an open air. And there was a man there, called him Daft Jimmy, and he was playing a big bass drum, just causing some noise to get people's attention. There's a few people there standing around. And before they commenced the meeting, they had asked WP to come and stand with them. And he stood with them, and then a couple of young Salvation Army girls says, "Let's get down on our knees for a word of prayer." In the middle of the street. But all these people walking by, and Nicholson himself was from Bangor, that's where he was born. And the people walking by knew Nicholson. And when they said, "Let's bow the knee and let's have a word of prayer before we start the meeting," well, Nicholson got down on his knees at the side of the road. He said the Lord did something with him there that day when he was on his knees. As he said, that day the Lord dealt with self and pride. And he said that day, as I knelt there on an old dirt road in the middle of Bangor, he said, "I give myself completely and entirely to Christ. I surrendered my all. I denied self." And Nicholson was never the same again. "If any man will come after me, let him utterly deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And so those whom John saw must have denied self and heeded the call to surrender, because they couldn't have followed the Lord as they did except they lived that surrendered life. There was a call to surrender. There was a call to sacrifice. If you're going to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth at, means that there's going to be a lot of sacrifice. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul, Mr. Foster referred to them last week when he was here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss, their sacrifice. Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. There's sacrifice. All things. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss three times now. The loss. The loss. The loss. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ and surrender. And that is sacrifice. And everything, Paul says, that I once regarded as gain, as something to be proud of, as something to hold on to, now I've been brought to that place where all these things I'm willing to sacrifice them for the Lord, and I count all things but dung. If you look at the Gospels, when the Lord called his disciples, if you read carefully, you will find that the Lord called them three or four times. He called them there, you recall, whenever he was walking along the shores of Galilee and saw them fishing. Some mending their nets, and he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we're told that they left their nets and followed him. Well, he had to call them again because they'd gone back to the fishing. And he had to call them the third time because they'd gone back to the fishing. Now, over in Luke chapter 5, the Lord calls them again, third time. Luke 5 and verse 11. This time we read, they forsook all and followed. You see, before we just read that they left their nets and followed him. They hadn't really left their boats or their fishing. They hadn't surrendered their all to the Lord. But when the Lord called them the third time, they were brought to that place of sacrifice and surrender and self-denial. And this time we read, they forsook all. All. And followed him. And it was only when they had forsaken all and sacrificed all that they became the true followers of the Lamb. Because really they weren't true followers at all up until this point, because remember, they had kept going back to the fishing. They weren't really true followers. But then the third time he called them, and this time sacrificed everything that they might follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And the 144,000 who were able to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, 140 and 4,000 people had heeded the call to sacrifice, heeded the call to surrender. How else could they have followed the Lamb in this way except they surrendered their all? Matthew 19 verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, he wasn't prepared to let go. He wasn't prepared for a life of surrender. He wasn't prepared for a life of sacrifice. He had too tight a grip and too tight a hold upon his possessions, and he wasn't prepared to let them go. And there are many like that young man today. They're not prepared to let go. The late Pastor Willie Mullen used to say, you need to let go and let God have his way in your life. The young man was not prepared to let go. You know what it says? It says that he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. He missed out with God because he was not prepared for a life of surrender. And instead of the joys and the happiness and the pleasure, the joy of simply serving Christ and following the Lamb, he missed out on all of that. Went away sorrowful. That's the secret, believer, to a life of joy and happiness. It's a life of surrender and sacrifice and following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. It's also a call to separation. You look again at the words of the text, these are they which follow the Lamb. These followers were separated unto the Lamb. It doesn't say that they followed the Lamb and someone or something else. No. There's only one person mentioned there, and that's the Lamb. They were separated unto the Lamb. And this again is something the Lord, our Master, our leader, our Lamb, demands of all those who come to him. He says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. Look again at the words. And he said unto them all. So these words were not just for one or two people. He was speaking to them all. And that's the message for every believer. The Lord is speaking to us all. And what is he saying? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Me, you're separated unto me. I call you to a life of separation unto me. I am your King. I am your Lord. I am your Master. I am your Savior. I am your friend. I am your Lamb. Must be separated unto me. We were called out of the world unto Christ. We were called on to Christ, no one else. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 verse 1, that he was a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Christ is the gospel of God. Take away Christ out of the gospel and you've no gospel. And so here was Paul, he was saying that he was separated on to the Christ of the gospel, called the separation unto Christ. So are we. And are we? Are we living that life that is separated unto Christ? Are we living the life that is surrendered to Christ? Are we living the life of sacrifice? Are we sacrificing all for Christ? It's also called to suffer. For can anyone be separated unto Christ and be like Christ and follow him whithersoever he goeth? Without suffering reproach. Again, we quote the words of the Savior, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What does the cross speak of? Speaks of suffering. Speaks of shame. And again, in another place, he said, Matthew 10, verse 38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. I looked at those words over and over again. They came to me with renewed freshness as I read them. He that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy. What does the cross speak of? Suffering, shame, and reproach. Again, referring to Mr. Foster's message last Lord's Day morning, that's not what he was saying. You cannot be a Christian out and out for the Lord without suffering reproach. I once, the people in the office find out that an out-and-out Christian has joined the workforce, turning over themselves to pour reproach and scorn upon the Christian. It's a target. We're a target for the devil's crowd. Oh, he's a Christian. Oh, he's good living. Oh, he's this and she's that. Love to make fun of the Christian. Most certainly they'll make fun of the individual, the Christian, who's following the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Of course, if he hides his profession of faith, because he doesn't want any reproach, then he'll not get any reproach. The Lord said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I think I said before, when I was serving my apprenticeship in an engineering factory, there was a man there. I had worked with him for over 2 years before I found out he was a Christian. He kept it a secret. He never said to anyone. Never in those 2 years did he say to me he was a Christian. Never in those 2 years did he talk to me about the Lord. Didn't want to suffer reproach. Well, do you think of the 144,000, as we said last week, they suffered reproach because they came through the great tribulation. They suffered reproach, and when John saw them after the tribulation, they're still following the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Oh, may the Lord indeed so work in our hearts that we'll hear and heed the call to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him.
They were called to follow the Lamb. They were compelled to follow the Lamb. When John spoke about the 144,000 that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, was he not speaking about those who just felt compelled to follow Christ? In other words, they couldn't do anything else but follow Christ. First of all, because of his person. You will notice that John did not say, "These are they which follow Christ whithersoever he goeth." He did not say, "These are they which follow the Lord whithersoever he goeth." No. He said, "These are they which follow the Lamb." In other words, the 144,000 saw Christ as the Lamb, just as John seen him. And the Lord Jesus is the Lamb to each one of us. He's our Lamb. He's the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world and slain for you and me, believer. They saw him as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, and he had taken away their sin. And because he had taken away their sin, they were compelled to follow him. What else could they do? Why, he had died for them. It shed his blood for them. It suffered for them. He felt compelled to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Dearly beloved, tonight when we see Christ as the Lamb, may the Lord give us a view of him afresh. May we see the Lamb afresh tonight. And with a view of those nail-scarred hands and feet, not compel us to follow him. Would a glimpse of that thorn-crowned brow not compel us follow him whithersoever he goes? Would a vision of that thorn crowned brow, that torn and bloodied back, not compel us to follow him whithersoever he goes? And would one look at that thorn riven side not compel us to follow Christ when we see all that he has done for us, and to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes? So those of whom John spoke were compelled to follow the Lamb. Did Paul not say of our Lord, he loved the church and gave himself for it? And Paul again said in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." The love of Christ, so pointed out before, it's not our love for Christ, it's his love for us that constraineth us. It's his love for us that compels us to follow him. How can we then not follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth? They were compelled to follow the Lamb, not only because of his person, he's the Lamb, but also because of his purchase. Look at what John says in the next sentence. These were redeemed from among men. These were redeemed from among men. As you have that center margin in your Bible, you look there at the reference to the word redeemed. You will see that it says in your margin, they were bought Redeemed means to be bought. And the reference there, the word redeemed, refers to a slave, been bought out of the market. The way it used to be many years ago, men would go to the market and they would buy a slave. This is what the word means. But we were in the slave market of sin, and Jesus Christ bought us out of the slave market of sin. And when he bought us for himself, and he bought us with his own blood, not with silver and gold, but with his own blood. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and verse 20, we read, "And ye are not your own, for ye are bought, ye are redeemed, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I want you to look at verse 1. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead." Now there's something in the original that's not found here in this verse and in these words. Because in the original it may read, "having his name and his Father's name written in their foreheads." And so not only was the name of their heavenly Father written in their forehead, but the name of the Lamb was written there as well. You ever gone into a furniture store or electrical store and you've gone there to look for an item of furniture or electrical appliance and you see something catches your eye, you go up to it and you say, "Oh, it's sold." There's a "sold" sticker on it and the person's name's on it. Sold to Mr. and Mrs. Smith or whatever. They have bought, they have paid the price for it. The Lord Jesus has bought us. And he has put our name, or his name, on us. We belong to him. And that in itself, would that not compel us to follow the Lamb? Because he has bought and paid for us. How can we withhold from him that which he has bought and paid for and is rightfully his? Be a shame, wouldn't it, to withhold from Christ that which he has bought with his own blood. The 144,000 had the buyer's name on their forehead. What else could they do but follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes? And I think they were compelled to follow him because of his precepts. Savior had many things to say about following him during his earthly ministry. Indeed, he said some things which many may find a little hard to swallow. "Regard the Lord's sayings as hard sayings such as, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Does that mean that as a follower of the Lamb we must take our cross and follow him? If we don't, we're not worthy of Christ. Yes, that's what it means. And again in Luke 14, in verse 25, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's what he said. Verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And surely that would compel us all to follow the Lamb. Because we want to be regarded as the disciples of the Lord. We don't want it said of us that if we don't take up the cross and follow him, we're not worthy of him. So therefore we would feel compelled to follow the Lamb. Whithersoever he goeth, and they were compelled also, I believe, because of his promises. Turn please to Matthew 19. And we're just about through. Matthew 19. And there in verse 21, again the Savior speaking about following. Matthew 19, verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. There's the reward of following the Lord. And following him like Caleb, following him fully. And surely the promises and his precepts would encourage us to follow the Lord whithersoever he goeth. And finally, you see, they constantly followed the Lamb. John saw them in heaven, and they're still following. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That speaks of their dedication. Speaks also of their direction. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. It's following the Lamb. It's not following their own leanings. It's not following the church. Many people follow the church, and they follow the church into apostasy, and they follow the church to Rome. Following the Lamb. Following the Lamb. That's their direction. And then you have their death. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They're in glory now when John saw them. They've passed through the waters of death and they've gone to the other side. And what are they doing? They're still following the Lamb. They followed the Lamb till death, and they're still following the Lamb. May we be able to say with the Ruth, she said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. For thou diest,
I will die, and there will I be buried. They followed the Lamb all the way to death, and they took up that path again on the other side, and they're still following. May we be numbered with those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Let's bow our heads and pray.